Thank you for listening to this audio recording produced by Gospel City Fellowship in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. We exist to be a faithful witness to the gospel of Jesus. For more info, visit gospelcityfellowship.org. That's gospelcityfellowship.org.
Good morning. My name is Andrew James. It's a joy to be with you this morning. I'll read the scripture today, and then we'll begin our journey together. What a beautiful place. What a joy to be here in fellowship. The scripture today is from Philippians 1, verses 1 through 14. I believe it's in your bulletin or your Bible from home. You can follow along. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with all the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart, whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel. All of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you will be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear to the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. This ends the reading of God's word. And it has been a minute since I preached, so let me open in a word of prayer. Lord, we praise you today. We thank you for your amazing grace. I thank you for this dear church gathered here in Portsmouth. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel that is being proclaimed and lived. And we pray, Lord, that this whole city would come to see your great love. And so, Lord, we entrust this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, years ago, I was driving in Asheville, North Carolina. I had just been at a conference at the Billy Graham Conference Center, which is called The Cove. And I wanted to get back home. It was a great retreat, but I was eager to get back home. We had just had our oldest son, Luke, was just born, who's here today. And so I get on the road. Now, kids, if you can imagine this, you used to have to print out directions. It was called MapQuest. So I printed out my directions, and I was ready to go. 30 minutes into my drive, I come to a detour. And not just any detour, a long, backed-up detour. You know that type. And I said, oh, I got to get home, but I'll go through the detour. And I start going through the detour, and I think, I'm looking at my directions, and I think there's another way I can go that's not going to take me all the way on this detour, but it's going to get me back on the highway. And sure enough, it happened. 3 minutes later, not even taking the detour, I am back on the highway. And I thought, yes, I am going. 15, 20 minutes into the drive, I thought, you know, those places kind of look familiar. But I thought, you know, I came here a week ago, so probably I just sort of saw it on my way down. And as I go a few more minutes, I thought, boy, this looks really familiar. And sure enough, after 30 minutes, I pulled right back into the Billy Graham Conference Center. Not a fun moment. Lost a full hour in to go back through the detour. Now, those who map out detours are not perfect. They make their mistakes, but it's probably better, isn't it, for me to trust the ones who mapped out that detour than to try to figure out myself. So think about when it comes to following the God of all perfection, how often we think our way is better. I'll figure it out. Have anybody else ended up in a strange place when we try to do that? As opposed to saying, Lord, your way is always best. And so I want to share a little bit about my journey and we'll get into the text. I grew up in Northern Virginia, right outside Washington, D.C. My father was a Presbyterian pastor for 43 years in the same church. Very grateful for the influence my father and mom had on me. My mom sadly passed recently, but they have had such a great impact on my life. And so I went to high school in Northern Virginia. I played baseball. I graduated in 1998, and my high school baseball coach is still coaching. You do the math. And if you want to ask me afterwards, there's a guy that might win the Rookie of the Year in the major leagues who played for my coach, and he's 20 years old. So I don't feel that old. And so I went and I played baseball at a school in Ohio called Ohio Wesleyan, and then I transferred to the University of Alabama. Now, one summer I was preaching in Boxford, Massachusetts, and there was a guy, and I was kind of right in my eye's view, and I was preaching on the Good Samaritan, loving those who hate you and persecute you. And I kid you not, I'm at the main point of the message, and I see this guy with a large Auburn shirt on. Now, if you went to Alabama, you know that that was the big rival, and I almost said, but there are exceptions. And so I went to Alabama, then I went overseas and as a missionary in Italy, and then I worked in the business community, ministering to the business community in D.C. We came up to New England in 2011, went to Gordon-Conwell, got my MDiv. It truly was all Greek to me, but I found a way to get through it. And then I ended up receiving a call at a church in Boxford, Massachusetts. How many here have been to Boxford? Has anybody been to Boxford? Okay, we got a few. How many have driven through Boxford? That's the key. Not many stop. It has, I told my kids when they grow up, you can tell your friends, I grew up in a zero stoplight town. It is a small town on the North Shore of Massachusetts. The church I pastored for 10 years was founded in 1701. For the 75th anniversary of the church, as I read in the church history, one day they read, this was in the church history, read a copy of the new Declaration of Independence from the pulpit. For the 75th year of the church. It was a wonderful 10 years. It was a challenging 10 years, God's faithfulness through it all. About 6 years into my journey, as we all know, in early 2020, COVID-19 hit, and it was a devastating time for all of us. And it was during that time I was feeling especially lonely and challenged. You know, so many of us, when you pastor a church, you have so many needs, and those I just felt were magnified, and yet you couldn't even hardly see your people. So I heard the story of some guy that was from New Hampshire, but he lived out in Florida, and he was coming back home to New England, and he was going to pastor a church in Hamilton, where we used to go when I was in seminary. You might know him. Do you guys know who he is? Yeah, that's right. Pastor Jeremy and his family. And I want to pause to just thank the Lord for each of you, for you, for Lindsay, for Ezra, and for Hannah, and the blessing that you guys have been to me. Because through that time, I got to see what it meant to have a friend in the trenches in all situations. And our joy and fellowship, I feel like we've known each other for 30 years out of that joy of fellowship. And then I kind of feel like I'm a distant uncle of all of you because I saw you before you were born. As a church, we came to Prescott Park. Did I get that right? And we came and we prayed. I came with Jeremy and we prayed around the park for this church. We were trusting that God was going to raise you up. So it's like those people you see at a party. Oh, I knew you when you were one. You say, who is that crazy guy? I knew you from those early days. But the joy for me to see all of you here today is beyond measure. And to see the partnership and the gospel come through. And then in my own life, felt also a sense of a new call after those years. And I ended up going into the business community. My family owns a company. It's an industrial company out of Ohio, bearings, belts, and motors. We just opened up a branch in Manchester, New Hampshire on Mammoth Road. So I spend most of my time driving around New Hampshire praying for sales, praying for business, but also praying for all of you. Spent a lot of time in Henniker Ware locally here, and it's been a great joy and challenge. And so as I've come to this message this morning, I was talking and praying with Jeremy about what to preach on. And the theme of thankfulness and remembrance came to mind. And so this book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul. It was written in Rome. There is a prison in Rome. If you go to the Roman Forum, has anybody been to the Roman Forum? When you're at the Roman Forum, if you ask, could I go see Paul's prison? They, under a church, they have a place that they think most likely was where the Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome, or would have looked a lot like it, very close to it in Rome, where it's a tiny, dungy prison. And it said, and so Paul wrote this letter to the Philippian church. He had been there a number of occasions. He had visited on his second missionary journey, and Lydia and the Philippian jailer were converted to Christ. Some years later, the church was well established. And so Paul loves the Philippian church. And so he begins his message here in Philippians, where he says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. He starts it off right away by saying, this is my identity. I am a servant of Christ. So often the world today asks, who am I? And I think the question can be misguided. I think for the Christian, it's not who am I, it's whose am I? When we know that we are Christ's possession, when we know that he has bought and paid for us with a price, that he creates us and he loves us, that changes everything. And so the Apostle Paul speaks of being a servant of Christ. And one commentator put, to be a slave of Christ is the way to perfect freedom, to know who you were created by and what you were created for and the purpose of your life. And Paul begins it by saying, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with all the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say to them, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I want you to think in your own life, who were some people that deeply impacted you in the Lord? Think about those people that shared the good news of Jesus Christ to you when you were a child, or maybe even last week, people that reminded you of God's grace and his love. And here Paul is writing from a Roman prison. He's in a really difficult spot, in prison for his faith. And he's saying to the Philippian church that has continued to pray for him and support him financially and prayerfully, I thank God for you. I had a text today. This week, I got a text from a guy by the name of Jack. And Jack now lives in Las Vegas, Nevada. And Jack and his wife, Julie, were in our birthing class for our first child, Luke. So today, as a side note, I have my wife, Becky, here, my son, Luke, who's 16, Wesley's 14, and Juliet just turned 10. And they are the greatest joy for me. And so we're at this birthing class with this couple, Julie and Jack, and they were about to have their first child. We went to high school together. Jack and I went to high school together. And he wrote me this week that just reminded me to keep pressing on, because sometimes I think we think, does any of what we do for the Lord make an impact? Sometimes have you had those moments you just sort of wrestle with it? I'm not seeing the fruit of my labor. Where are you at work, Lord? And he said, Andrew, I want to reach out to you. I was listening to a sermon yesterday about testimony. It reminded me of your role in my own story. I wanted to let you know, just in case you already realize how pivotal we were in my faith journey. He said, we're so grateful to land at Faith Lutheran here, where we attend, and Julie and I teach a Christian leadership class to fourth and fifth graders. Our children attend the school too. And he goes on to share about what God's been doing in his life. I would have never guessed 15 years ago that Jack would come on fire for the Lord. But God is the one of all mercy and grace, and he does the work. Amen. And I'm reminded that it's not our work, it's his. And the Apostle Paul is giving thanks for the people that are laboring in the gospel. So often, that's a wonderful encouragement to me. But so often, I don't see it. I don't understand it. But I know God is at work. And the people that have challenged me and encouraged me, I'm going to write one or two of them this week. I encourage you to do the same. Text somebody. He didn't know where I was in that moment. Frustrated about sales, challenged by preparing a message, all the above. And it reminded me to keep pressing on. You never know How a word of encouragement, hey, I'm thinking of you today. I'm praying for you. How many times Pastor Jeremy has reminded me, keep pressing on, brother. Are you sure? Yes, keep pressing on. Encourage him. Partner in the gospel. Pastors can be, it's a heavy job. So we all serve together in the gospel. I know that's your heart, that there be partnership in the gospel. And here's the verse that truly hit me this week. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What do we see here? Paul reminds the Philippian church, he started it, he will carry it through, and he will complete it. He will finish it. This is the work of Christ in their lives. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion in the day of Christ. And I think here's what happens too often. As Christians, we get wrapped around the axle and we say, well, how does this aspect of my life fit in this good work? This struggle, this dynamic, I don't see it. There's other areas we can say, of course, that opportunity to grow in this way or that way, that makes sense of this good work. But here's what hit me this week about this passage. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to the day of completion in Christ Jesus. We have to hold loosely to circumstances in our lives, and we have to hold tightly to the promise. He who began it will complete it. We want to cling to the promise, and we want to cling to the one who has made the promise, that we cling to the Lord, a promise keeper. We cling to the Lord, the one who is full of all grace and truth. We cling to the way, the truth, and the life. We cling to him and his great and precious promises. And that hit me this week so much, because when I cling to that, then the things that I struggle with or try to sort out, or where does this fit, we trust that he's at work in our lives, that he is a great redeemer, and that his purposes will prevail. And this is, he's saying, I want a partner in the gospel. I want you to be with me to the end. My Father's Day gift to myself next week is to go, get ready for this, to a country concert. My Father's Day, I'm still trying to convince my family. Maybe you can work on them for this. Years ago, by the way, before I mentioned the country singer I'm going to see and how this connects, I went to see Montgomery Gentry. And I wanted to see them. They were going to play at the Cabot Theater in Beverly, Massachusetts. I tried very hard to convince my classically trained pianist wife and the rest of the family. And she comes along to many country concerts. Let me say, she does. So I couldn't find any of my friends to go either. So I went alone. Has anybody gone alone to a concert? It was kind of surprisingly fun. Because I could just sing all the songs by myself, be totally anonymous, right? And I thought, wow. So this Sunday, Father's Day, Tracy Lawrence, he's another country singer, big country singer from the 90s, Texas Tornado, other ones you should check out. And he has a song called Find Out Who Your Friends Are. And he sang it with Tim McGraw and Kenny Chesney. And he sings one point. And he says, find out who your friends are. Somebody's going to drop everything, run out and crank up their car, hit the gas, get there fast, never thought, stop to think what's in it for me, or it's way too far. They just show on up with their big old heart. Find out who your friends are. And you know what? The Apostle Paul had a lot of people who abandoned him. Demas, as we saw in the scriptures, and others were people that turned away from him. But the Philippian church stuck with him through thick and thin, and he stuck with them. They were friends through it all, partners in the gospel. So he goes on to say, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me, unmerited favor. The grace of God, he says, you share in this grace that God has given. And God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And then he says, my prayer is that your love may abound more and more in depth of insight and knowledge, that you may be able to discern what is best and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And then in verse 12, he says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Isn't that powerful? Here is the Apostle Paul in a Roman prison, for his faith, but he has an understanding. Remember, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the day of completion in Christ Jesus. He has an understanding that his imprisonment for Christ has actually served to advance it. There is what I would argue a dangerous theology out there that says it's called a prosperity theology. And if you believe God, then you're going to have health, wealth, and everything else that comes with it. If that comes, well, thanks be to God in those moments. But if that becomes the end goal, health, wealth, and everything in it, you're going to be sorely disappointed and you will begin to make an idol out of everything else but Christ. Paul has a theology of suffering. He understood what Christ went through on the cross. He understood how Christ was mocked and ridiculed. He understood what it meant to follow the Lord through thick and thin. And he is in this Roman prison and he says, this has served to advance the gospel. What if we had that perspective on our suffering? It's been a really difficult last year and a half with the loss of my greatest cheerleader and my mom. One of the things that would happen, I'd preach a sermon sometimes, and I'd think, I just want to dig a hole and hide away because I just felt it was no good. And she'd say, wow, over text, wow, that was a great message. And I'd say, Mom, did you listen to the same one? Yeah, you know, she was a great cheerleader, like your mom for you, right? She was a great cheerleader. Through this suffering, I also have now realized I'm encountering many people who have been through significant loss. We never know how God's purposes will prevail through a job loss, through a family loss, through a struggle in a marriage, how God can redeem any and every situation as we learn to trust him in all things and in all ways. And then he concludes by saying, because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Some points of application here to conclude. To consider. First of all, Paul begins by saying, I'm a servant of Christ. You know, that connotation in this culture can seem sort of, you know, really difficult to understand, but here's the deal. Paul understood that Christ had created him, that he had redeemed him, that he had died for Paul, and he had come to this faith in Christ, and he understood that this risen Savior was the one who was a conquering king. And so Paul said, I am a servant for Christ. Our identity is not who are we, because we'll get, I'm an accountant. I'm a this or that. You know, as wonderful it is to be a parent. If our primary identity is as a parent, we're going to put too much expectation on our kids to fill what only God could fill, or on our job, or on our marriage. If those are our primary identities, we are going to lose our focus, as opposed to saying, I am a servant of Christ. I am saved by the great Redeemer. That is my identity, and how freeing it is to know my life is not my own, my life is his. Amen? We know that changes everything and allows us to pour out what he's poured into us. Secondly, Paul thanks God for them, and he prays for them. He thanks God, and he prays for them. A pastor friend of mine the other years ago said, prayer is the work. I thought that was a very powerful quote. Prayer is the work. Sometimes we think we got to pray and then get the work of the ministry. But it's a reminder in prayer that God does the work, that it's his purposes. If this church shall prevail and is gospel ministry here in Portsmouth, which we believe that God's purposes are very clearly here, it will be by his grace and his work alone. And in participating in that in prayer is such a great privilege and joy. So as I drive around New Hampshire, I'm reminded to pray for you guys, pray for me, and share with those this week that have made a great impact in your life. Thank them, text them, write them a letter. How about a handwritten letter? Can you guys imagine that? Kids, have you ever heard of that? You don't want to get a handwritten letter from me because you will not be able to read and translate it. But if you have decent handwriting, write somebody and tell them, you've meant this to my life, and be a friend like Tracy Lawrence describes, through thick and thin, somebody that shows up and partners in the gospel. The pastorate, and Jeremy didn't put me up to this, but I want to share this as an encouragement to him and to all of you. After 10 years of being a pastor, it is, I would argue, potentially the hardest job
on the planet. Because you have to carry many, wear many different hats. You're sort of helping run an organization. You're meeting with people in areas of confidence and struggle. You're coming alongside people at their deathbeds. You're being a part of so many other dynamics that are emotionally heavy and challenging. And because of that, we need those that lift our arms up. And one of my encouragements that I've been so encouraged to hear is how encouraged he is by all of you. So keep it up. Keep encouraging him and partner in this gospel ministry that God would call you to. Like the Apostle Paul said to the church, I pray for you. I give thanks for you. Next, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the day of completion. Do we want to cling to our circumstances? Is that what we want to do? We want to hold tightly to our circumstances. You know what happens when that happens? Think about how expectations grow, right? If this circumstance doesn't go the way I think it should, we get frustrated and our expectations grow and we can't understand it. But if we cling to the promise, he who has created us, he who knows us, we hold on tightly to him. We begin to say, Lord, my life is yours. Your will be done, not mine. And then lastly, we long for others to experience this grace. We long for others to come to know the Lord. If you think about New England, it was a place of many of the early great revivals. The 1600s and the 1700s, people in New England were on fire for the Lord. It was known as a place of great proclamation. Years ago, I did a reenactment of George Whitefield. Have you guys ever heard of George Whitefield? And it was said, Ben Franklin said, I kept going back in Philadelphia. I think it was about 20,000 people. Now, Franklin was prone to some exaggeration, but he had a booming voice. Was it his own? Or was it God's work in and through him? And you think about Portsmouth, 1623, this historic seaport. But what if it becomes increasingly known for a place that says, I follow Christ and I know the Savior, the one who came 2,000 plus years ago, who lived without sin, who taught and healed in a way that people had never seen before. But he had some bold claims too, didn't he? If you came up to me and said, Hannah, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, I'd say, Hannah, we might need to check with somebody about this. Right? That's a bold claim. C.S. Lewis describes a Lord, liar, lunatic. He either was deliberately deceiving people, or he had lost his mind, or he was who he said he was. And this Jesus was persecuted greatly, and he went to the cross, a Roman cross, nails through his hands and his feet, hours upon that cross for you and for me. And he went and he was buried. Crucified, dead, and buried. Did he stay there? You can find the tomb of Napoleon and find the remains there. You can find the tomb of Tutankhamun, they find remains there. You might be able to find where Christ might have been buried. Are you going to find his remains? No way. Because he rose. He conquered death. And for any of you here today that have not put your trust in Jesus Christ, it's not about earning your way to God or 51% good, 49% bad, that if I do enough good things and I'll stand before God. No, it is saying, I believe that he came for me. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He took our sins upon the cross. You and I should be paying that for our disobedience and rebellion against God. We were enemies of God. Dead in our transgressions and sins. Oh, were we somewhat alive, Pastor? No, we were dead. One time I said, I used to preach at the Topsfield Fair, which is quite an experience. I said, a lot of funnel cakes being announced in the background. It was quite a, but I said, you know, imagine if they just broadcasted my thoughts and your thoughts for the last week. See, we can justify our actions. I said, I'd have some interesting thoughts, maybe. I'd have some good thoughts. And like many men, I'd have some non-thoughts, just, you know. But the reality is, our heart is desperately wicked apart from Christ. We go our own way. But in Christ, when we come to him, we receive Christ's righteousness, the sinless Savior. We are declared righteous because of what he has done, past, present, and future sins forgiven in the abundance of life. And you know what, when it comes to proclaiming the gospel? how exciting it is to share the good news of the gospel. I want everybody to know about Alabama football, what it's like to be in that stadium, and oh my gosh, But that pales in comparison to the amazing news of knowing that the Savior died for you and me, and He rose again. And He is a conquering King. He is a sinless Savior. He is an awesome God. So may amen. So may Portsmouth be known for a place over time of God's people that come on fire for Him, share the good news of the gospel, and that over and over people begin to say, what is happening in that interesting place? God is on the move. Trust Him in all things. Amen? Heavenly Father, we praise You today. Thank You for Your amazing grace in sending Your Son's death and resurrection on our behalf. Lord, we just pray for Your power to be seen, Your glory to be known, You as the risen Savior. As we come to this table, and we're reminded also upcoming of that You lead us, Lord, that we would not try to find our own way, to think that our way is better, but we would rather trust the One who is the way, the truth, and the life. I pray for anybody here today, Lord, that doesn't know You, that they would confess of sin, acknowledge their rebellion against You, and ask You to be their Lord and Savior, to tell somebody, I want to follow Christ today. And we would trust Your covenant love, Your redeeming grace in all things. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio recording produced by Gospel City Fellowship in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. We encourage you to share this with as many people as you'd like, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way. For more information about our ministry or for other gospel-centered material, please visit gospelcityfellowship.org.